reaching across the country for the biggest sports news this weekend. From Atlanta to Seattle, from Boston to LA, this is Big Sports Radio.
Another weekend, another time spent with the fellas. Big Sports Radio, Larry Smith, Mike Hegley, Brad Sturdy. So glad you're with us in this one. Lots coming up. Obviously, Super Bowl 59, the hangover. You can't take enough ibuprofen if you're in the heartland in Kansas City. Sorry, you've had your run, but it's just a painful headache there. Meanwhile, headaches in Philadelphia for different reasons, the celebratory kind. We'll talk about that, and also the sad news in Chicago with the passing of the Bears' elderly owner, Virginia McCaskey. We'll talk a lot of hoops coming up here. Also, some insiders, Zach Braziller from the New York Post talking St. John's basketball, and we've got a UCLA insider as well. He is joining us from talk about the Bruins men's and women's team. The women, number one, don't forget. We stick with hoops for the moment right now, and the big story is this weekend is in Champaign. Tom Izzo, the venerable coach who has been on that sideline as head coach for almost 30 years. Last week, he caught Bob Knight atop the all-time Big Ten wins list, had a chance to break the record, but stumbled at home and got upset by Indiana. Now the Spartans go to Illinois, a team they beat last month, but a team afterwards that Tom Izzo called, he felt, when they're all healthy and pieces together, the best team in the Big Ten. A lot of emotion, a lot of stuff happening in the Big Ten. And again, Tom Izzo, a chance to go into really a team that's been a rival of theirs to try to make history.
Tom Izzo's had a legendary career, obviously, that it's shown by his Big Ten wins. He is the kind of he's the longest tenured guy. He's the guy who's kind of been the standard bearer for years. Of late, guys like Matt Painter have kind of moved past him in that, hierarchy, I think. But Izzo's still kind of the standard that you want to reach and get to. So now the question becomes, can he make that, at his, kind of at the end here, can he make another run? I think that's what he's looking for. He's got a team that has an opportunity here, but we'll see if they are able to kind of finish strong.
Yeah, Izzo has done remarkably well, particularly this season with a team that people were not impressed by, and he's exceeded expectations to this point in the season. And his detractors will say it's because their schedule, unbalanced schedule, was a little bit easy to start with. Well, we have the rest of this season to play out, and then the Big Ten tournament, the NCAAs, and Tom Izzo's teams generally get stronger as the season goes. So be a big game in Champaign.
Yeah, really will. And to your point, Michigan State, I'm sorry, in March, they're still Michigan State. It doesn't matter where they're seated. They're going to find a way to get wins more often than not. And we know Izzo was going to break this record if it's not this weekend in Champaign, then he'll do it next week. It's going to happen. I know that there are some Illinois fans over in Champaign don't care for Tom Izzo for a lot of different reasons. Brad, I know you've interacted with him. I think Tom's a great guy. Yeah, he whines a lot. So did Mike Krzyzewski. And I'll tell you, Tom is a much nicer guy than Krzyzewski.
Not even close. One thing about Izzo is sometimes their sideline demeanor is not what they're like off the court. Mick Cronin's another guy off the court, much different guy than you would see when you see him on the sideline. And so they're actually, Izzo's really fun to hang out with and talk to, especially talking basketball.
Yeah, and he's got such a unique, bond with some coaches because he earned his way to that position as head coach. He was there for years under Judd Heathcote. The guys like Bruce Weber, who were there for years under Katie. So you've got this guy who's kind of learned the ropes and really is a masterclass at how to be a head coach.
Yeah, he's been a head coach for so long at the same place. Bill Clinton was in the Oval Office when he took over for Judd Heathcote. I mean, that's how long it has been. Just been forever. But Tom Izzo, there's no question. And it's funny, I think part of the reason why everyone freaks out over his antics is because we have social media and everyone has cameras in their pockets where they can capture this and put it up live within seconds or post a video up. And I've told somebody earlier this week, I said, clearly you never saw Bob Knight and you didn't watch Mike Krzyzewski in his heyday. And you didn't see Raleigh Massimino. I mean, who just also looked like just a raving, raving lunatic. He'd be pulling his hair out of his, So Izzo and Michigan State at Illinois, by the way, the Illini, already had a jersey Tuesday night with Kofi Coburn, the former two-time All-American center. They'll do it again Saturday night with Terrence Shannon Jr., who has the week off from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he'll be in the house for his jersey celebration. So a lot of stuff going on in Champaign right now with the Illinois basketball team. Just east of that, lots going on in Indiana. We heard it with the 25-point loss to Illinois last month in Bloomington. We began to hear chants in the first half of fans, Indiana fans, mm-hmm. chanting "Fire Woodson." Finally, he agrees with him and has come to terms. He's going to step down at the end of the season. Woody's a guy that I like, but I never thought was a good fit with this team. I'll be honest.
No, I totally agree. I don't think it was a great fit. I think he was the Indiana guy, and that's what they wanted at the time. The weird part about it is, I feel like this team, some, you know, obviously we know some people around the program there at Indiana, and they said this team really bought in after he basically said he was stepping down.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see them maybe play at the higher level now with a little more passion, a little more urgency, because they feel like, you know, they kind of, I guess he had a really great meeting, a speech with them. And so it'll be, what I think is going to be interesting is how they close out, because they can be a spoiler team, because there is talent on that team. They can put, they can change the way seeding or who a team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, or maybe they make a run and sneak in.
Yeah, they've got an opportunity to kind of come together under him, but I just think that Woodson wanted to construct a roster that was better set for 20, 25 years ago. And it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It just means he may not be the best at putting together a roster for the modern basketball game.
That's one way to look at it. Yeah. So Mike Woodson again is out. Again, just could not get there. And I saw something online. I want to get your thoughts very quickly. Is Indiana a great job, or do they just have a great coach? In the last three decades, Indiana has reached the Sweet 16 or further only four times in 30 years, and only one Final Four. And that was back in 2002 with Mike Davis, who got the job by default because, you know, Knight was kicked out after all the stuff that he did on campus and the final straw. And the fan base never liked him either. And he made the one run to the title game, and then they've done nothing since then. So, so I say again, great, great, great program, or just a great coach?
I think the potential is there. Because there's a lot of basketball is big there. They draw more fans. They have the highest revenue basketball program in the Big Ten, which is, you know, Illinois was second, I think, as I remember. But here's the thing about them. They have a lot of NIL money that they're able to throw at guys. If you get the right coach who knows how to put a roster together, they will win. But, and there are some guys that are scary out there, might be really good at Indiana. But if they make another hire of, a guy just getting a Hoosier legacy or something like that, it's not going to be successful.
Yeah, I think great program it used to be, but it's got a huge fan base that they built that is incredibly loyal. And you have Eli Lilly, you've got Mark Cuban. So there's deep pockets that can be drawn upon. And as Brad said, college basketball is largely a sport that's built around great coaches. So you make the right selection, they'll be just fine.
Yeah. So in the end, like you said, they're a very dangerous team because they are talented. They do have some pieces. They have some experienced players over there who've kind of been through it before. And yeah, they could be a double-digit seed in the Big Ten that you do not want to see coming your way, upsetting some team and getting into the quarterfinals or beyond. Okay, so Mike Woodson's out. Play AD for me. Who should they go after as the next coach of the Hoosiers?
Well, obviously the guy that everybody throws around every time Indiana's open is Brad Stevens. Supposedly they were going to offer him 7 years, $70 million back in 2021. Which should be a nice contract. I've agreed to accept that if they offer it to me. There's a lot of, I think Chris Beard, I think you start talking about him. I think he's the first guy on my list that I would. Dusty May was a guy, but Beard is obviously he's got some baggage, but at the same time, all he's done is win. Everywhere he goes, he wins. And that's kind of the guy they need right now. At Indiana, because right now they're probably wishing they would have kept Kelvin Sampson in his baggage because they'd be in a little different place.
Yeah, if I were them, I would call up Billy Donovan and say, what in the heck are you doing with these Bulls? They stink, and they're not going to be any better. It doesn't matter what you do. And I would try to convince him to come to Indiana, where he will be better funded. He will have a fan base that's doesn't have to be loyal to Michael Jordan, because that's all that the Bulls have ever really been. And I just think there's a lot of opportunity there. And Billy Donovan, I think he can still coach basketball. I don't know. Being the head coach of the Bulls when you go from college has not been a good career path.
No, it has not.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I think Donovan is still a coach. He's young. He's got a lot of years in front of him. There's one name that I have not seen mentioned that I think you have to make a phone call to and make him tell you no, is Rick Pitino. I know he's 72 years old. I know he's older. He's toward the end. He's a New York guy, probably at home at St. John's, may retire from there. But I throw mega money at him. I offer to make him the highest paid coach in the country, and give him a 5-year deal and say, we know this could be your last job. We're fine with that. Get us to the promised land before you go. Make him tell you no. Make him tell you no.
Yeah, Pitino's that good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you go after an up-and-comer, maybe like a Ben McCollum, who just killing it at Drake? Do they, you know, and then there's always that, you know, you start looking around at hot young coaches and you try and find a guy. I'm not sure there's a can't-miss type guy out there right now. So we'll see.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think one name that we haven't talked about, I don't know if he leaves the job he's at because that's home for him, is Shaka Smart at Marquette. Mm-hmm. That he didn't do very well at Texas, but he's done a fantastic job at Marquette. Obviously, VCU made his name. He's a name out there, still a young guy, has gotten it done. But again, he's in a really good situation at Marquette. Not much of a pressure cooker. He's got him cooking. Without a crazy fan base. And so we'll see what's out there. I mean, they've got money. If I had to put my money on it, probably Chris Beard, to your point. But we'll see what happens. Ole Miss may say no to that and throw more coin at him. All right, stay with us. So we're going to talk a little Super Bowl recap here coming up in just a moment. And more hoops chat. It's a big, big weekend as we count down and get closer to March and the conference tournament and then March Madness. We'll break down some of the games coming up here. Just getting started on a great weekend. It's Big Sports Radio.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. That's 800-373-8414.
How would you like to get a free $100 prepaid MasterCard and save money on your television bill? Then call right now. Make the switch to Dish TV. For a limited time, we're offering a 2-year price guarantee. That's important for those of you on a fixed budget to know your prices won't go up for 2 years. Plus, you have hundreds of channels, lots of live news and sports, movies, and more. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our discounts for seniors and those of you in the military. So, make the switch to Dish right now. Pick up the phone and call. Enjoy your television like you are meant to. And when you sign up today, we'll also give you a $100 free prepaid MasterCard. Call right now, ask about our senior discount, our military discount, and your free $100 prepaid MasterCard.
800-706-7063. 800-706-7063. 800-706-7063. That's 800-706-7063. Paid for by NPS. Switch to Dish TV today for your free prepaid MasterCard.
We're back on the show here. Mike Cagley, Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy. Tony Cordero is our producer this evening. And I just, Mike, football season's over. It's kind of sad. You know what I mean? It's a sad time. The Super Bowl ends. And you know, the bad part about the Super Bowl is we couldn't really debate any of the calls because it wasn't really competitive. So all we did was talk about the Kendrick Lamar show at halftime. I mean, that was the only thing on. Everything else was like wow, I didn't know that they they became like Mahomes isn't Jordan. And that was our thing. And he's not Brady and all this stuff. And Mike, what are your thoughts at the end of the Super Bowl?
Well, I got a lot of thoughts.
Oh God.
First off, the whole thing, I don't think Brady's the GOAT. I don't think Mahomes is the GOAT. I think football is the most team oriented sport there is. And you have to have a defense to be a great quarterback, or you can be a great quarterback, but you probably won't win a Super Bowl if you don't have a great defense. And stinky quarterbacks can occasionally win a Super Bowl if they have a great defense. You know, Brad Johnson has won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer has won a Super Bowl. So I look at like the total picture. Obviously, Brady's one of the greats. Mahomes is one of the greats. But I just don't think you worry about these guys while their career's still going on. Let Pat Mahomes play his whole career, and then you see how he compares to Brady, to Montana, to, you know, the guys of the past who were so great.
Yeah, I think it's way too early to start anointing any of these guys that are that are winning, now. I mean, because we don't know. I mean, you know, for all we know, who knows? Maybe Josh Allen might win like 6 Super Bowls.
Exactly. I mean,
he's young enough that can legitimately happen. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, he's this guy or that guy. But I think Mahomes off to the best start, probably as a winning quarterback. I mean, I think that's fair to say. So, yeah, but the one thing is that the defense is really important. And Kansas City's defense had played fairly well this year. But I don't know if they didn't have the defensive talent that Philadelphia has. Philadelphia's defense, and we talked about this, that was the thing where we thought Philadelphia had the equalizer, was the better defense. We just thought Mahomes would be able to overcome it and read, you know, be able to overcome those things. Clearly that did not happen. He was running for his life from a four-man. They didn't even have to blitz to chase him down. I mean, nothing there.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, now Trent Dilfer was a quarterback who couldn't throw accurately, but he does understand the game of football, and I'm going to steal from him because it was the best analysis I think I've heard. And he said, basically, in a game of football, when you get into the into a game, and they can, the defense can put pressure on a quarterback with just 4 guys, that allows the defensive back, the 7 guys in the backfield, to not only cover their guys, but they can actually have their eyes on the quarterback the whole time. And he said, when you are able to play a zone defense and have 7 guys watching the quarterback, it makes an average quarterback, he said, like myself, irrelevant. And then he said, even a guy like Mahomes and Brady, they can't do as much. Because when they throw the ball, you know, many times they take advantage of the fact that a defender's out of position, they aren't watching, et cetera. And he said, so basically you saw the Eagles with that defensive line being so dominant over a porous and injured Kansas City line, that they were able to they were able to watch him throw and break on the ball just as fast, if not faster, than the receivers. And I hadn't really thought about it that way, but that matches what we saw on TV, because Mahomes was playing so bad. I think I texted somebody and said, did he get concussed? And maybe it was just that everybody knew where the ball was going.
Yeah, I think you're right. It just, they were reading it very well. And I do think, I don't know, as you kind of look at it, you know, if you look at the, recently, offenses have been kind of, you have to have a really good offense to win. And I think that at the end of the day, your defense has to be able to get teams 3 and outs to get off the field.
Because your defense, at least one more time than they do to you, right?
And you know, and you have to get off the field, and you can't. The other thing I think that is kind of lost, it's not always just defense too. It's like, it is so hard if you don't make chunk plays, if you don't get big plays you saw the Chiefs. I mean, even when they made a couple plays down the field at the end, but
yeah,
during the game, I mean, it was like a 6-yard gain. And it's like, whoa, a big gain. I mean, it's like, everything's dink and dunk. They can't get anything down the field, where the Eagles are able to get, you know, they were able to extend those, get the big, you know, they stopped the run. They did a great job stopping Barkley, but they were able to get plays down the field. And, you know, whether it's AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, whoever it was, that really definitely changes the way the game works. It makes it so hard on that defense to get those stops. So does that mean that, so are we ready to anoint the Eagles the next dynasty?
Isn't that what we're supposed to do
Super Bowl?
I will tell you, though, that defense is young enough that they're just entering their prime. So you can see the temptation of doing that. They do have a good team in their division in the Commanders. They also have a Detroit Lions team that most likely won't be as injured defensively when the playoffs come around next year.
The Vikings aren't bad.
Yeah,
I mean, they're a solid team. And what if the 49ers, you know, remember the 49ers have been like the team that was going to be the next team.
Yep.
Maybe they get health. If they have a healthy season, they're definitely a team that could come out of that there.
And Dak Prescott must have been hit in the head because he said the Cowboys are close.
Isn't that far from New Orleans is what he meant. It's like easy to get there. It's a short flight.
They're close to the Gulf of America. I think that's what he meant.
Exactly. We're just right down there. We can be in the Gulf of America.
I really think, don't you think though, like when you look at this game, it was one that we all got fooled by the fact that the Chiefs have figured out a way to get things done. But they hadn't run into a defense. And I really think that Eagles defense, for at least for three quarters of a game, they look like the 85 Bears or the 86 Giants or the 2000 Ravens. Yeah. I mean, they look tough.
They just dominated. They had no idea. You saw Mahomes, he was scared to death back in the pocket. I mean, just didn't know what to do.
I was scared to death for him.
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to get killed, and then he'd never win another. He would never catch Brady for sure. But you know, this happened to the Chiefs the last time they lost a Super Bowl was basic Tampa Bay. Remember, they were able to just get so much pressure on him. He was running for his life. It was the same type of thing. The offensive line was exposed. They weren't as good, and they had beefed up their offensive line, hoping they wouldn't have that again, and obviously it didn't work out for him. But, you know, I do think it's going to be interesting. I still don't – I mean, you look at how many close games there were. Easily could have seen the Ravens beat the Bills, you know, the way the Bills could have seen the Bills beat the Chiefs very easily with a couple catches. Yep. And then, you know, I don't know that the Bills, and this sounds crazy, I don't think the Bills get run out of the stadium like the Chiefs did.
I agree with you.
Because I think they would have been better offensively. They would have had a better chance of doing something offensively.
And the Chiefs offensive line struggled, and then they had injuries on top of it.
Yes, bad combination.
Yeah, a bad combination when you're facing that front four. And and boy, those you give Georgia players a couple 3 years to adjust to the NFL, they get pretty tough.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. I totally agree. So I do think they could have had a different because I think, you know, they could have done more because Kansas City didn't do anything for three quarters. I mean, did nothing. I mean, it's like almost like they weren't out there. It's almost like they weren't playing offense. They just give the ball back to Philadelphia every time.
But did it remind you of the Joe Theismann Redskins against the Bears?
A little bit.
That's what it reminded me of. They just couldn't get anything going, you know, and it didn't matter. And I have to be honest with you, at 10-0, it occurred to me like, are the Chiefs going to score today?
I was looking up. My wife looks at me and goes, "Has there ever been a shutout in the Super Bowl?" And I was thinking. Then I looked and I said, "No, there hasn't." But three, so I don't know. But you know, it wasn't gonna. But it didn't happen. But anyway,
Cowboys.
Yeah, we do want to offer our condolences to the Chicago Bears family, the McCaskey family. You know, 102 years old, Virginia McCaskey passes away. You know, a lot of Bears fans I know listen to the show, and you know, our condolences there. And you know, what does this do for the Bears moving forward?
Well, it's really going to be interesting. You know, it's people theorize that it could be split up among 11 or whatever, you know, heirs. They've got to figure out what they're going to do. Could you get the Ryan family, who is so influential with the Northwestern program, could they, you know, start buying up ownership shares and maybe become the owners? I think there's going to be an interesting off-season drama there. And I think the McCaskies are one of the last of the, you know, we make our money on the NFL team owners, as opposed to this new type of owner who, you know, I'll just drop $5 billion on a football team. I got nothing else to do. And so I don't know if that type of ownership model has the finances to compete in the long term in the NFL anymore.
I would agree with you. I think sometimes it's like, as you're playing, the NFL is their fun money. Yes. And I think those are the guys that are the most successful now.
Meanwhile, you and I are digging around the couch trying to get pizza money.
Well, yeah, pizza's expensive now, though, so
yes.
It's tough.
Yes.
So.
Pizza, football teams, they're all expensive.
All expensive, especially if you go with deep dish. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day, plus no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. That's 800-215-0341.
Fans of Big Sports Radio and Sports Spectacular Podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
Back here in Big Sports Radio, Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley. Producer Tony is helping us out as well. Josh Ewing on audio. Appreciate the entire team working hard for us here this weekend and bring you this this broadcast. Hey, we were talking in the break. We kind of restarted while we were away at break about the coaching stuff, right? So there's actually a lot of jobs out there to talk about here starting really probably, you know, middle of next month. We've already kind of broken down Indiana. What about Iowa? It's pretty much kind of foregone conclusion that Fran's going to step down in Iowa City after a long run there with the Hawkeyes and had some success. Where do they go next for a coach?
Yeah, it's interesting. Do they go with like a Ben McCollum from Drake, who's having a fantastic first year, but has limited high major experience? Do they go with and there's some other guys too. Do they find a guy who's kind of beating the posse out, or do they find another up and comer guy, a Tom Crean? Or a guy who's, had been there, but maybe he didn't succeed. John Gross, another at Akron, who's just killing it. I mean, there's a lot of options there at Iowa that could be successful. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Fran is one of the best offensive coaches in the country. I mean, but they are kind of going through a down cycle here after being, back in 2021, they were 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. They were 6-2 and 5 seeds in 3 consecutive years. That's, they've just kind of taken a back seat now. So when his kids start transferring, it's maybe time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Iowa, with the transition of the women's coach retiring and now with Fran looking in trouble. And even when you go looking at Kurt Farron's over on the football side, that athletic department may be totally redone in a year or two and not be recognizable from a revenue sports standpoint, that's a big change, you know, for that university.
Yeah, no question about that. When you look at that, some other Big Ten programs that nothing right now that we're hearing that they may not be around, but Rutgers and Minnesota are two jobs that could come up.
Yeah, I think Steve Peichel's a really good basketball coach, but at the same time, you know, Rutgers is on the verge of missing another NCAA tournament, third year in a row, and they have paid a lot of NIL money to two of the best freshmen in the country. They got two top five draft picks, and they're under 500 in Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, and those guys are fantastic, but they weren't able to put a roster around them, and so it hasn't been successful. And I guess, you know, so Minnesota would be another one, where Ben Johnson has had 4 years now and has a lot of veteran guys on this team and they're not successful. And it, you know, how long do you get? I mean, Dawson Garcia and Patterson and Odukele and Mitchell and all seniors. And so Parker Fox senior, I mean, they got so many seniors and yet they're still 12-12. So I don't know how you kind of say, well, we're going to be better next year.
Yeah, and I also think that athletic department needs to do a better job of mining their alumni and some of the big corporations that are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. This is not like West Lafayette or Champaign, where you have 150,000, you know, people around you in the immediate area. They've got to do a better job to provide the NIL that will help the basketball and football coach keep players from going out of the state of Minnesota.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the ACC, there's already a huge void. Six coaches leaving in the last 3 years, and now there'll be a seventh at season's end. Leonard Hamilton says he'll step down. Florida State's all-time winningest coach. What a job he's done there. No Final Fours, but boy, he's had great success. Leonard Hamilton, by the way, people don't realize this, has been in the game so long. He was the first Black assistant coach at Kentucky under Joby Hall back in the 70s. 50 years ago, he was there. And just his run has been incredible what he has done. But he's had enough. And, of course, Jim Larrañaga stepping down as well, has a couple of Final Fours, one with George Mason, one with just a couple years ago with Miami. Two programs right there that are, you know, fairly well off financially. And curious to see who will step in there in the ACC.
Yeah, definitely, you know, some possibilities there for some good programs. I would have a hard time telling you who's going to take those jobs. I think they're going to have to look for a young guy and who can, you know, or an up-and-coming type guy to take that job. But I could see a guy like, you know, we mentioned Tom Crean earlier. He might be an interesting guy. Boston College is another job that could very well, be open. Missed four straight tournaments for Earl Grant there. So, A lot of possibilities there in the ACC. The other thing I have about the ACC is they're struggling financially a little bit compared to maybe the Big Ten and SEC. Do they have the buyout money to buy these guys out if they still have millions of dollars on their contracts?
Yeah, one wonders on that. And I do think that the TV contract being extended by ESPN and agreed upon by the ACC probably gives a little bit of runway to hire some people. But that gap between the Big Ten and the SEC on an annual basis, if I'm a coach, I would much rather be a coach in the Big Ten or the SEC where I can compete a little more than I would be if I was in the ACC. And that's so different to the past,
yeah,
at least it's in like, basketball.
No, I agree with you. And it's like a guy like Dennis Gates at Missouri, has ties to Florida State and Leonard Hamilton, might be a good fit in Tallahassee. But why would you take that job when you've got the SEC money in Columbia with the Tigers? You're exactly right. Same for Chris Beard. Anybody else you try to poach from one of those programs in the Big Ten or in the SEC? Let's get to some of the games this weekend. Two teams that are very well set at coach and going anywhere. Michigan State and Illinois. We talked earlier about Tom Izzo again trying to get another win and break Bob Knight's all-time Big Ten wins record. The legendary late Indiana coach who passed away a couple of years ago. Tied right now with Izzo. On the other side, Illinois, for the first time in several weeks, out of the top 25, as they kept losing inexplicably while they battled through injury and illness. How big is this game for them as they try to right the ship and kind of get back to where they were at the turn of the calendar, the first week of January and so, as we head into March?
I think a lot of people, a lot of Big Ten coaches, and I've talked to some of them, will tell you that Illinois is the most talented team in the Big Ten. They're the team that when they're clicking, or they're the best team, but they haven't been whole. And so they need this win. And they just kind of start winning some games. It's kind of been a 50-50 split every week, it seems like, for the Illini. But they need to put on a little win streak, start showing, being consistent with their strong efforts. And if they can do that, you know, they're a team that's a little bit dangerous come March.
Yeah, I think Brad Underwood needs to have that team stay at the I Hotel and pretend like it's a road game, because they have played better, or at least they haven't played as well at home as one would expect based on the last 4 or 5 years. And they've got to, that's probably the reason why people want a win so bad, is because you have to defend your home floor, and they've already got a couple losses in the Big Ten at home, and you can't win a Big Ten title losing at home. You just can't.
Yeah, you can't. One thing for Illinois, they did lose only by a deuce up in East Lansing, despite not having Kasper Shakachonis, their outstanding freshman of the year candidate in the Big Ten, because of all the foul trouble. They played only 9 minutes in that game. Meanwhile, Purdue, kind of like a wounded bear coming back home to Mackey after losing to the Wolverines. They're home against Wisconsin in a top 25 matchup.
Yeah, this is a game where Wisconsin's been a really big surprise in the Big Ten, how well they played. And Purdue has also kind of, you know, found their way without Zach Edey. And that's a hard thing to do. But I think Matt Painter's a fantastic coach. He does so well in the Big Ten. But I'm not sure they have they can't make the Final Four this year like they did last year. But I do think they're a team that can be dangerous. And I think at home, they're going to win, because if you've ever been to Mackey, it is probably the toughest place playing college basketball.
Yeah, I think that is a big, big order to win. And they've at Mackey, and Ohio State's already done it. I don't see anybody else doing that for the rest of the season. It's just such a rare event.
Yeah, Ohio State did it, like you said, and we don't see anybody else doing that. But hats off to Greg Gard, what he has done up there with losing some key players. Essegian transfers to Nebraska. Chucky Hepburn has helped Louisville's resurgence in his first year down there. And yet here the Badgers are back in the top 25 again. No question, the game of the night, Saturday night, is number one at number two, Auburn at Alabama in the SEC. Usually this is a big deal in football, but it's basketball now. And who would ever thought you'd have this matchup be a must-see game in mid to late February in the SEC?
This game is fun too. These teams are really athletic. They will get it out. They will run. Alabama's going to, they like to shoot the three, get up and down the floor. Auburn plays great defense. Alabama's defense is a little suspect. I think that's what's holding them back from being maybe even better. But yeah, this is a blast. I mean, these coaches are both, Pearl and Oates are animated. This is great college basketball. I don't think you'd ask for better than this.
Yeah, I think that's the type of game that people want to tune into. Two teams that are fantastic. They don't particularly like each other. You've got this rivalry for the state of Alabama. It has all the earmarks of a classic game.
Yeah. Remember about a dozen years ago when Anthony Grant was down in Tuscaloosa getting 20 win seasons, but couldn't get more than half of the arena filled? I mean, it's what a turnaround, right? They've done down there, coming off the Final Four year, the first in program history. A Big East matchup, Creighton at St. John's. The Blue Jays saw that win streak snap through the night. They finally lose a game to UConn. And by the way, Danny Hurley, how old are you? You're going to some random fan point to your finger and mention you got two rings as you walk off what's basically an empty arena, but it goes viral now and just makes you look like even more of a tool than what we thought you were.
Yeah,
dude, really?
That's saying something.
And that is. Yeah. I didn't think it could get any worse, but I mean, if the tantrums in Maui weren't enough, that was one. I'm like, some random fan yells something at you. Who cares? You're Dan Hurley. Yeah, you. Exactly. We know you have two rings.
You know, it's funny, Larry. We've talked a lot about how, you know, the Coach K wasn't the guy that everybody saw, yeah. You know, everybody, the way he was portrayed. You know, we saw the behind the scenes stuff with all this stuff. Danny Hurley doesn't hide it. He is what he is. Right. I mean, so I almost respect it a little bit, because at least, you know, this is what he is. He's just a jackwagon, and that's the way he's going to be.
He should have got those two rings fitted for his middle fingers so he could show them off to people more readily.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way. Okay. There's our Dan Hurley.
I got
rant.
Two rings, baby.
That's right.
Count them.
1-2 right here. That's right. To the game
tell people
now.
To read between the lines.
Hey, how about the Baldy comment, though? What's he calling another guy Baldy for? Right. Like, what?
That's right. That's right. Dan looks older than me. and he's not. Meanwhile, Creighton at St. John's. I think this is a fantastic game. You know, between these two, we've already talked about Rick Pitino and what he's done. They're coming off a loss. They don't want back-to-back losses right now in the Big East.
Yeah, St. John's has been a huge surprise as well. I guess we shouldn't be surprised when Rick Pitino does something well, but you know, he wins. But Creighton has also, I mean, these are the top two teams right now in the Big East. So this is a great matchup. From a record standpoint, and Creighton has been, you know, before the Connecticut loss, they had won, you know, what, 9 in a row or something like that. So they're really kind of clicking going into that. And so I think it's interesting to see how St. John's attacks like Kalkbrenner and how he's able to keep them out of the paint, block shots, and also, you know, score inside, because I don't know that they can match up with him. So I think that's the interesting thing for me in this matchup.
Yeah, Pitino's amazing how you turn this team around and get this type of response, you know, and results, I should say. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in the tournament, because that'll be one of the premier stories of this year's tournament. And for people who've, you know, watched him for years and respect his coaching ability, it'll be cool to watch.
Yeah, no question. Creighton, St. John's, by the way, one final thought, look out for Florida. We're always talking about Auburn, Alabama. Tennessee's been number one for a while. Florida, the fourth SEC team in the top five this week. We believe the Gators are for real as well. Stay with us. It's Big Sports Radio. Back with more after this.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. That's 800-456-5371.
It's the heart of basketball season. We're in conference play, and of course, we're getting into February, almost to March. And so what happens is we've got March Madness, which means we've got bubble talk, Mike. NCAA basketball tournament bubble talk. And I'm excited to talk about some of these blue blood teams that maybe aren't as, I don't know, maybe they're just bloody right now and battered. How about North Carolina, Mike? In or out?
I got to think they're right now, they're not in. It's that conference. The weird thing is, and I thought I would never say this in my lifetime, but the ACC is so weak, it doesn't allow you to make up ground. And, you know, it used to be that the ACC was a murderer's row. You could have two good weeks in the ACC and find yourself in the tournament. No more.
Yeah, you know, you look at them, they're 50th in the NCAA net. They're 14-11 overall, which means they probably can't afford, if they lose three more games, they don't have a chance, right? Out of their next, whatever, seven games, counting the ACC tournament at least. They have one quad one win. They are 1-10 against quad one opponents. Only six quad one and quad two wins together. So yeah, I think they're out right now. I would agree with you. I think they're definitely on the outside looking in. Obviously, there's a chance to play themselves in, but like you mentioned, don't have the number of marquee games that that going forward that they probably are going to need to win, unless they beat Duke at the end. Obviously, that's a big one. All right, what about Arkansas? I'm not a blue blood, but they've got the old Coach Cal there, and they've played a lot better of late.
Yeah, they've got the opportunities being the SEC. They can make it up. Right now, I probably wouldn't have them in. I'd have them maybe one of the first three or four teams out of the tournament. I think it's ironic that a lot of the team is the Kentucky team moves south, and they are now looking at the new Kentucky team that is probably going to make it in and maybe even, you know, be a 4, 5, or 6 seed. And Arkansas could be on the outside looking in. And I think there's going to be a lot of Kentucky fans who are going to say, "We told you so."
Yeah, no question. The one thing I'll say about Arkansas, they're 41 in the net. They're playing much better of late. They've got 3 quad one wins, 3-7 against quad one, 4-9 against quad one and quad two. And they are currently, they're a team that's probably in that 11 seed range. If the tournament was today, Bracket Matrix has them probably an 11 seed, which I think is fair at the moment. Now, they definitely have some work to do, though. I think if they want to feel good about their chances on Selection Sunday, but again, in that conference, boy, they've got a lot of opportunities to get marquee wins.
Yes.
But you still have to go out and beat those teams, which isn't always easy. There's a team, this team, I'm going to throw this in ad lib, Mike. This isn't on our list of teams we're going to discuss. How about Kansas State? Is Kansas State like the hottest team in basketball right now? I think I was looking over the last 6 games, they are the number one team in the country in advanced metrics in point differential.
Well, when Coleman Hawkins starts cooking, he's a heck of a player, and I got to be honest with you, as a guy who watched him in an Illini jersey for 4 years, I'm rooting for Kansas State unless they're playing the Illini. I would love to see them in the tournament, and I would love to see them make a mini run, and then maybe Illinois puts them out of it.
Yeah, Kansas State, 70th in the net, obviously moving up, so that's really low. 13-11 overall, 4-5 and 4 quad one wins, 4-5, 6-9 against quad one and quad two. But they're making a huge jump, and they're definitely a team on the rise. If they get hot here, I think they're a team. You know, you look at them with the wins they have gotten over the last couple weeks, they're an intriguing team that might be able to sneak their way in. Definitely a team that's come on the radar of late. So, all right, here's another one. We got another big team. In the SEC, how about Texas? Where do you see the Longhorns?
I don't know. They're a team that I can't figure out. Obviously, they're not winning enough big games.
Neither can Rodney Terry.
Yeah, so, well, that's exact. I wonder if they're looking back and saying, you know, we got this guy in here. How is he in trouble? I mean, you know, are the boosters going to be behind him?
I haven't heard much. They're 33rd in the net. They are probably sitting. Most people have them in that 10-12 range as a seed. I'd see them as 11, maybe. They're only 3-8 against quad one. They're 6-10 against quad one, quad two. Eight quad four games. They're 8-0 there. So I guess they got that going for them. Texas, in a conference where they have a lot of opportunities for wins, but sitting at 15-10. Definitely work to do. They're definitely not. They're a team that's right on that bubble, and we'll see how it plays out. Now, here's my last. I got to pick another team here, and I'm going to throw this one out there. What do you think of? We kind of talked about this in the break. How about Georgia? What do you think of Georgia and that team? Is that another like Jekyll and Hyde team or what?
They are another Jekyll and Hyde team, and you do not want to face them on the wrong night. You know, they're one of those classic teams. You know that they've got. I don't know that they have a high ceiling, but in an individual game, they have a pretty high ceiling and they have a pretty low floor. So you don't know what you're going to get on any given night. But when they come to play, you're like, how did they win that game? And then 3 nights later, you're like, how did they lose that game? And I actually will now tune them in occasionally just because I have no idea. So it could be a very good game.
Yeah, I think I'd see them see that they're also another team on that 11-12 line, you know, 10 to 12, somewhere in that range on most of the brackets. They're ranked, 35th, I think, in the net, 16-9, only 2-9 against quad one teams, only 2-9 against quad one opponents, 5-9 against quad one and two. So, yeah, they're a team that, again, a team that's going to have to finish well, even, you know, record solid at 16-9, but they're going to have to get some more quad one wins, I think, or quad one and two wins to kind of move up that into that bracket and feel good about where they're at on Selection Sunday. Is there anybody, you got anybody else? Mike, anybody else?
No, I'll be honest with you. You look through the Big Ten, and this week, you know, Rutgers just didn't play well. You look at the talent, and I think to myself, two of the most talented freshmen to come through in years, and we're not going to get a chance to see them in an NCAA game. And Pikel's a good coach. So you got any theories on what's going on there?
It's hard to win when your stars are young and you don't have veterans to kind of help them through that. And I think that really, and people don't appreciate that, these guys are special, but their supporting cast is very, very, very inconsistent. And right. So when you have a very inconsistent supporting cast, you don't have guys you can count on. It really is hard to win behind those freshmen. And I think that's what we're seeing with Rutgers. I don't think Pikel's a bad coach. I think he's a really good defensive coach over years. He's shown that, but they really needed a guy like, you know, Big Cliff to stick around and help nurture these guys and teach them how to win.
And that goes to show you that budgeting for NIL is really important.
It really is. So, all right, we'll be back right after this. We're going to pay our NIL bills.